Grace to you and peace from God who creates and redeems and sustains all things. We welcome again our folks who are worshiping with us online, and thank you for being with us, as well as those of you who have braved the cold night here on Monday, Thursday, to be here with us. Monday, Thursday is the first of the great 3 days that moves us from that twin triumphal entry of Jesus and his passion on Palm Sunday to his death on Good Friday, to his resurrection on Easter morning. Tonight's reading, I think, frames the whole Easter cycle and perhaps our whole faith. We hear a story that in the Gospel of John happens within Passover. You remember the Passover. You heard a little about it, the story from Exodus. God's children huddled in their homes, waiting for the angel of death to pass over them. It's a heartbreaking story of destruction and death and freedom. But freedom gained at an awful price. The people of God that night finally break the back of slavery under Pharaoh, but so many will die. And that is the night that Jesus and his disciples gather around as we hear this story, this wonderful, powerful story. And Jesus is, as you know, in John, already anticipating his death. John tells us that. So it's important to remember that as all of this is happening that night around that meal, in John, Jesus knows what's coming. So framed with the death of Passover and the life that it brings, this night is also framed with Jesus' impending death and the life that will flow from it. And it's against that backdrop that this drama unfolds. Jesus knows what is about to befall him, but I don't know if you noticed, Jesus also knows that Judas will betray him. He knows in John that Judas will betray him, and he knows that he will die. There's a part of this text, you know, we go 1 through 17 and then 31b through 35. It's that middle section where they talk about Judas and what's going to happen. And we as Lutherans, of course, like to leave that out. But I think it's really important. Because this night, Jesus will undertake this singular act of taking on the role of the servant that will evoke that sense of wonder in us and in the world. He will wash the feet of those who have gathered around the table. We can't really know what was in Jesus' mind or what was going through his mind or what he intended. But the night itself is more than mere theater or symbolic act. As Jesus kneels at the feet of his disciples, he lives out authentic love. It's a love that will put aside Peter's objections. You cannot wash me, Lord. And Jesus says, well, if I can't wash you. You can have no part of me. And then I love Peter. He says, then wash all of me. I've always thought that should be a hymn. All of me. You should wash all of me. And over those objections and enthusiasm, Jesus kneels at the feet of his disciples. He gathers the doubts and fears and hesitancy of his friends and allows unconditional love to be the night. Even Judas. We don't notice that in the text. We forget that Jesus says, look, there is one who will betray me, who will not be a part of us. But guess whose feet get washed that night? It's Judas. Put yourself in the place of Jesus. As you come forward tonight, I hope, and wash one another's feet, what happens if the next person in line is someone you don't care about or care for? I remember when we would be picked for basketball, I was usually picked last because I have a vertical leap of approximately 1.3 inches. And I would watch the kids, as I'm sure some of you have felt this, as they count. You know, and you try to find the right place where you'll be in the right line to be on the right team. There's none of that. Judas gets his feet washed. Judas, who will be singled out in the last part of the text that we don't have before us, is included in this act of love. There is room even for, and maybe especially for, Judas. That simple act is just a moment, just a second in time, easily lost in the wash of what will happen over the next 2 days, where Jesus will be taken and tried and crucified and killed. But if there is a seminal moment in this 3 days, this is it. If there's a moment in which we see who God is then and now and forever, this is it. God not only loved so much that God became human and died, but God washed our feet and loved us so deeply that He could set aside disappointment and betrayal and hopelessness and apathy and love anyway. At the end of the text, we get a zinger. Because it is fine for God to do those things. But He places that mantle on us and the whole world and the whole cosmos. Pastor Bree reminded us at the beginning of the service that mande means, it's from the Latin mandatum. It means command. I tell you this. I command you to do this thing. This one thing. To love one another. To love one another. That is how you will be known. And all the things that I read about reforming and changing and transforming the church, the one thing I see the least is that we become the church of love. If anything will reform us, if anything will remake us, if anything will identify who and how and who we should be and are, it is this night where we have the guts to wash one another's feet. To reenact what authentic love looks like. For me, Monday, Thursday frames everything for this week. Jesus will die for love. He will rise for love. He will ascend for love. And He will send that Holy Spirit upon each and every one of us and on all of creation in light and joy and recreation and love. And it will be enough. Amen. Let's sing together verse 4 through 6.